Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man.
Mainstream establishment Republicans are echoing these calls for violence, all but threatening it.
Well, first of all, I have my red LED lighting since the Republicans are so, oh my God, upset because President Joe Biden, they claim, oh, he looked like he was in Russia. Pastor Charles Jenkins has an intro to his song War where he says, when the enemy is coming at you, you can't fall down, you can't break down. This means war.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Obviously, Republicans, I think, are the biggest threat to democracy. We don't separate right-wing extremists and Republican Party anymore.
That is where we are. We are at war with these people. These folks are evil. They have allowed evil into their house with Donald Trump. He has now dominated the party. This evil is spreading. And when you are in a war footing, you have to respond accordingly. It's about time President Joe Biden decided to get tough. It's about time his advisors stop being weak and stop being impotent and not fighting back. What these people want to do to this country is destroy democracy. They want to rig elections. And so it requires you to stand strong.
I guess that political ploy works. Scare the left into not even considering to vote Republican. And I read this online this weekend, and I sent it to my guest last week, Jonathan, the local dad who was in here standing up for kids and education, taking a stand against the school district. This little quote said, if they say you're too small to make a difference, tell them to sleep in a room with a mosquito. We got to keep buzzing, man. Listen, the Marxists want you to quit. They want you to feel overwhelmed. That's the purpose of this chaos.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It feels like a bombardment. You know why it feels like that? Because it is a bombardment. But if we float overhead at 35,000 feet and slow our roll, we can see their attack is weak. When we look at their attack from overhead, it might look on the front line, but right behind it is, I call it Reno. Reno at night looks like a big city, but it's really just propped up. You know, almost, it's all casinos. That's what it is. It's not a big business downtown, right? When we look at it overhead here, their attack is weak, man. They play sight games. That's their offense. And don't fall for the sight games that they're playing. And let me give you my case in point. Let me ask you right now, and this can determine whether or not their sight games are working. Would you feel comfortable right now? And if you have, then you can't play in this game. But would you feel comfortable putting up a, let's say, Carrie Lake should have been governor of Arizona. They need to do a recount. That was wrong what happened in Merritt. Would you put that, anything like that, up on social media that says the election in Arizona was corrupted, right? Well, if you wouldn't, would it be maybe, just maybe, you don't want to be called an election denier? That's the sight game they're playing.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The Democrats, they're the ODs. They're the original deniers, right?
The left loves free speech too, don't we?
You're the OD. You're the original deniers. They denied elections. Going back to the hanging chads. Come on. They did this psychot job to get you to shut up. How does one? Hey, how do you stay? How do you fight the good fight that we're called to do? Well, who's ringing? Who's calling? Well, I can tell you right now, God's calling. The Constitution is calling. Your common sense is calling. Your obligation to your country and your neighborhood is calling. And it seems crazy out there because it's been designed to appear that way. There are more of us than them. And I'll tell you, the isolation time period days of those two and a half years, didn't it change us all to some degree, didn't it? I think we have to admit that. And during the thick of it, no chanting, no singing, isolation. We were isolated when they made their move. And that's when they wanted us in isolation. And if you're going, what move did they make? Okay, then you don't get it. You're probably not even following along with this dialogue. But what we're heading into here, going into the... We're just always in election season. Let's just say that we're always in election season, and what we're about to witness, and what's about to happen here. Please, we've talked about it many times on this show that the DNC and the RNC, Republican National Committee, Democrat National Committee, private corporations, no affiliation whatsoever to the government of the United States of America, none. And what these the RNC and the DNC, they're at the same cow trough. They're right there. They eat from the same barn. And what we're about to see is in the Republican side of things, there's a civil war already a brewing. And don't think that it's new, guys. It's not. The Martini Rhino Chamber of Commerce Republicans, a la McCain, Romney, the Gang of Eight, 2008, 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13. It was all talk of Republicans need to soften their stance on immigration. Stop. You're being looked at as being racist by not wanting people to follow our immigration laws. The Republican Party was really thinking, okay, after George W., we got King George III coming in. Remember old Jeb? It was Jeb and Hillary, right? The monarchy was going to continue.
Please clap.
But low energy Jeb came on the scene, right? Who called him that? Trump. The RNC, during all of Trump's time, they wanted to act like they were make America great again. They need the base vote. They need the highest percentage amount of people, which are the base vote in the Republican Party. And every move they make, it's just with the cocktail class. The MAGA base, I'll tell you right now, you can't trust this other side. And if this other side gains back control, they'll do it under the guise of, you know, Paul Ryan and the likes, right?
The evidence is really clear. The biggest factor was the Trump factor. So I think we would have clearly have won the Senate had we had traditional Republicans in the general election, like these governors did. I think we would have won places like Arizona, places like Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, had we had a typical traditional conservative Republican, not a Trump Republican.
a traditional conservative Republican. That's not him. That's not the Rhino class whatsoever. And I listen to these guys, and when I listen to them, I listen for future teleprompter talking points. I bet you anything we're going to start hearing the Rhino class, whether it's in the media, whether it's politicians, whether it's guys like Paul Ryan here, because he's about to say it, saying that we get past Trump, we win elections. Watch, it's going to be the Rhino talking heads out here. Trump won in 2016, but he lost in 2018, he lost in 2020, and he lost in the 22 midterms, even though Republicans won back the House. That's going to be the talking point. Here he goes.
So I don't mean this personally. It's just evidence. We lost the House in 18. We lost the presidency in 20. We lost the Senate in 20. And now in 2022, we should have and could have won the Senate. We didn't. And we have a much lower majority in the House because of that Trump factor. So I think it's palpable right now. We get past Trump, we start winning elections. We stick with Trump, we keep losing elections. That's just how I see it.
That's former Speaker of the House, Rhino Paul Ryan right there. But what they're really against is Trump's national economic policy. And any candidate that you hear out there running for the presidency, their national economic policy, that all the other policies are going to flow from that, even foreign policy. And you can't support Main Street and still support the Paris Climate Treaty. I mean, these are some glaring things out there, but it's not real popular with candidates to really talk about their national economic policy. They don't like to talk about it. See, Trump broke the rule. He broke the D.C. rule. He talked about it. He went as far to campaign on America First, right? And most people can't stop and tell you how Trump or Biden or Bush or Obama's national economic policies really affected them. But they know the results. I mean, the prices, energy, all of that. And we have seen during the Trump time, first candidate that actually campaigned on a domestic national economic policy. He even went further, started talking about tariffs, right? Remember the steel and aluminum tariffs? Tariffs on ag. I remember Ryan Jacobson in here, Fresno County Farm Bureau, one of the lone voices in saying the media, what they were saying was wrong. And, you know, it's going to kill us, these tariffs are. Ryan said it would not, and he was correct. Trump challenged NATO, right? We know what he did. Because he challenged the Chinese and the Europeans on their imports, and it lowered prices in the U.S. We started importing Amazon. I'll take five of those. Bing, 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 bing from China. They started coming in at lower prices. The value of the dollar increased. Our wages increased. Job growth increased. Energy prices dropped. We were importing goods at a lower price, and we were making things here at lower prices. So the exact opposite of what the Rhino, what the Martini Chamber of Commerce Republicans like Paul Ryan did, they were wrong. All their claims, all their predictions, and it was based on what? Trump's national economic policy. What is Joe Biden's? What's Joe Biden's national economic policy? To get rid of fossil fuel. And that's how you kill an economy. U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, all the super PACs funded by Wall Street, they're against America First. And if you take money from these big multinationals out there, if you're a Republican and you take money from them, you can't deliver. You can't campaign on America First. The national economic outlook of the president is very, very important. And you tell me, before Trump came along, was there a candidate in the Republican Party that their national economic agenda was America First? The Mitch McConnells, the Romneys, the McCains, the Bushes, did they make America First their priority? No, that fell upon deaf ears. I think we're far enough away from dinner and far enough away from lunch that I can play this without you hurling. This is CBS asking Paul Ryan about the legacy of Nancy Pelosi to the former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. Here, ready? Hope you don't just kind of throw up a little in your mouth. Just try and hold it in, please.
We began by discussing the legacy of his successor, Nancy Pelosi.
It's an impressive legacy. I mean, obviously, she and I usually disagree on things, but first woman speaker, a career to be proud of. And frankly, I think about her husband, Paul, a lot these days. I just feel so awful about what happened to them. She has an incredible legacy and career to look back on.
Wow. What a legacy Nancy left us, said Paul Ryan.
That's an applause line.
Have we reached a tipping point as a country? I mean, we've seen this day come, and it's just quicker than I guess we expected. I don't know if we reached a tipping point with crime or not. Two boys were robbed at gunpoint. Where did that happen? Oh, just where everybody goes to Christmas shop to feel safer than going to fashion fair, right? I'll tell you the story over the weekend next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Paul Ryan. I wish he could get out in his underwear at a dunk take up in Wisconsin in the middle of January, and I had 1,000 balls to throw at the target. And the minute he got back up, I'd hit the target again. He'd fall in that frigid water. That's how I feel about him, and that's a mild statement right there. Okay, which of the, which of the bad news do you want here? I'm just going to go any, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, I'll go here. Esmeralda Soria, Mark Payson concedes to her in the 27th State Assembly. Is it California State Assemblywoman Esmeralda Soria? She got 51.2% of the vote. Okay. It's a new seat representing Merced Madera in Fresno County. She's a current council member here. Will have served her 8 years on the city council. And she will now be in the assembly. I guess we'll enjoy it. We got an audit. Maybe she's a clean credit card person over those 8 years. Isn't that something? The audit's going back 8 years. So that's her whole time there. So we'll see. Mark Payson concedes to Esmeralda Soria there. Okay, here's the other bad news. Could be a rail strike, possible rail strike. We were talking about it last few weeks. There was a smaller union. See, all the unions got to agree. And there was a smaller union kind of holding out. The largest rail union in the nation just rejected the offer. So the possibility of the strike one step closer to reality. Remember I said the government said they can't do it? Well, here's what is according to ABC News. The nation's largest rail union voted down a tentative contract brokered by the White House, raising the possibility of a nationwide strike next month that would cripple the economy. So the White House did step in, brokered a deal. I wonder who from the White House did that. I don't know. Choo-choo. Do we know anything about trains? Choo-choo.
Excuse me. What am I doing here?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm on a loose track here.
Choo-choo. And, go play with the train. Go play with your train set. We're going to work this out here. It didn't work out. The brokered White House deal. You got the largest rail union now saying no. Can you even imagine if this went down? $2 billion a day they at the office of they say would be lost in economic output. I mean, rail is critical, the most critical, the economy. And that includes ag. I don't have to tell you that. So they rejected the contract in a vote that garnered record turnout. So that's bad news there. I guess the good news of this story is that no one lost their lives behind some stores at the River Park Shopping Center Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Fresno police say two 15-year-old boys were robbed at gunpoint by other teenagers in North Fresno, leaving one of the boys with a cut after being pistol whipped. Where are you going? Mom, we're just going to go to River Park. All right, be back by 6. Okay, we will. Be careful not to get pistol whipped. We'll be careful, Mom. I'm glad they're okay. Around 4, they were walking behind businesses, part of the River Park Shopping Center. Probably best to stay out in the areas where there's more people around. They were approached by 3 to 4 other teenagers in hoodies and masks. Started demanding the two give them their belongings. The two 15-year-olds initially refused. One person allegedly pulled out a handgun, according to ABC30.com here, while the other reportedly had kitchen knives. One of the victims was pistol whipped, which left a cut on his cheek. The victims then complied, handing over items including jewelry, cell phones, and cash. One of the boys had to give up his jeans and sweatshirt. Wow. The says here the victims walked home and called police from there about an hour after the robbery happened. Now, understand, you're standing out there in your underwear. You might not want to run into a store at that moment. Probably the smart thing is go into a store and go, I've been robbed. Can I put on some pants you got here on the rack? And you need to call 911 right now because somebody had a gun and they could be coming in here. I highly suggest you lock the front door of this store. But they're two 15-year-old boys that just went through having a gun pulled on them. So good thing they handed it over and didn't try and fight back, or a gun could have easily gone off, or a stabbing could have happened. They did call the police, as it says here, an hour later. But even an hour later, Fresno police learned the alleged suspects may still be in one of the stores. When officers arrived, they stopped a group of young men that matched the description, but determined they were not involved. Investigators are looking for surveillance video in the area. Now, I am probably the least most shopper in the valley. I'm in the smaller 5th percentile, I would say, when it comes to shopping and knowing shopping areas and all of that stuff. Now, I know the stores are the stuff that I like to shop for. Anything else, it doesn't matter. I'll just get it wherever I can get it the easiest way. River Park, though, I do know that's a nice shopping area. And I do know that there's many people that said, you know, I'm not at Fashion Fair. You've had shootings. You've had drive-bys there. I'm going to go to River Park to do my shopping. And this affects people. There have already been shootings up there. We know that. Police say there's no greater threat to the River Park area at this time, and the shopping center has extra officers on patrol and security due to increased holiday traffic. You know, I don't want to be all negative. I want businesses locally here to make money, but I'll shop for my computer or an Old Town Clovis. Those are the two places that I actually feel are safer places. Even online, you don't know anymore who's grabbing what, and, you know, anything can go down anywhere. But what a shame. I'm glad no loss of life happened there. Come back. Fresno State wins a Western Division title, face Mountain Division Boise State. The Mountain West Championship game on December 3rd. Who would have ever thunk it, right? Biggest turnaround in program history. I'll give you the numbers next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Okay, I'm not talking just about stores and whatnot. Society has put Christmas out earlier this year. I'm seeing more out in people's yards, and I'm realizing people want to feel good.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
Hey, during the commercial break, nobody was in the Soft Rock studio, so I popped in there. If you ever just can't handle it, right?
Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated,
you get tired of all this, you're like Trevor.
End up paying the price.
Okay, Joe, if you're all the problems of the day, we got some lovely Christmas music playing at our iHeart station right next door to me here, Soft Rock 98.9. If you ever want to jump over and get in the Christmas mood before Thanksgiving, sure, you can do it, but I still think City of Fresno should go around and ticket people that put Christmas out before Thanksgiving. Just to, you know what? It's been dark. If people want to put it out and celebrate, let's just celebrate. I mean, look at Carbassi. I'm going to be talking to City Council member Mike Carbassi. He's going to be on at 4:30. We're going to talk about PG&E in the City of Fresno, but he's doing some kind of turkey gobble event, the second annual. I guess he's now done it 2 years in a row in his district right there, giving out free turkey and trimmings and all that good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Fresno State clinched the Mountain West Division, face Boise State in the Mountain West Championship. December 3rd, of course, you can hear it right here. Fresno State 7-4, Mountain West 6-1, won their sixth straight game. Now, Nevada could have been the spoilers, but it was kind of hard. They got whooped 41-14. So that clinches the West Division. Boise State 8-3, 7-0 in the Mountain West. Biggest turnaround in program history for Fresno State. More than any season to start 1-4 and then to win at least seven games. Boise almost lost to Wyoming. I told you my DVR was recording these. And I saw it on there, and I go, okay, a game's already been recorded. So I just fast-forwarded to the very end and saw the score. And I almost stopped it when they had the ball with it. But the dude fumbled. Wyoming gets it back, runs it down to the 20, down by three with, I don't know, 50 seconds. It was something, a minute, something around there. And they could have run the ball to get in position for the field goal or maybe even make it a closer field goal. But what do they do on the first play from, like, the 20? Wyoming, down by three. Field goal would have tied it. I don't know. Let's throw the ball in the middle of the back of the end zone. What? I mean, the guy wasn't on. Well, the receivers are dropping some, but he's the tallest quarterback in the NC in college football. He's like 6'9", and he dropped back and threw an interception. Boy, I tell you, that's going to be tough for that Wyoming coach. I don't know if the quarterback overruled it. I don't know who was calling the plays on the field, but you would think that's going to come from the sideline with that much time left and ball control. And we're going to, if we don't score with a couple runs up the middle, we'll kick it on fourth down. I don't remember how many timeouts, but anyhow, dumbest call I've seen. Now, if they'd scored that touchdown and been like, wow, what a comeback, you know, it's always easy. No, this is actually an easy one to call on Monday afternoon, playing the Monday afternoon quarterback. You don't make that call. So Boise State should have really at least had a tie there, but they won it because of that bad Wyoming call. Close out, Fresno State will Friday night, right after Thanksgiving, against Wyoming, Valley Children set for 7 o'clock, and then December 3rd game. That's going to be a 1 o'clock. Haven't had a 1 o'clock game in a long time. Almost, it seems like maybe was USC. That was a night game, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm trying to remember. All right, that's the good news right there. This story that we've been following, and, of course, Tulare County District Attorney Tim Ward on the show here often was against what this judge ruled. And it's a horrible story because it involves kids doing something beyond stupid and two firefighters losing their life. I'll just read your CentralValley.com. The juvenile convicted of the fatal Porterville Library fire back in 2020 will be released early from custody. The DA confirmed the Tulare County judge ordered the 15-year-old to be released on or before December 19th. He was sentenced to 8 to 10 months of probation with grief and PTSD counseling. The judge ordered the teen do 100 hours of volunteer work and write an essay about why he set the library on fire. Now, I could understand possibly having jail time and thousands of hours of volunteer work and then write an essay if nobody died. But two firefighters died. Their names, Captain Raymond Figueroa, Firefighter Patrick Jones. This was back in February of 2020. Now, originally with this, Tulare County District Attorney Tim Ward charged the teenagers who were 13 at the time of the fire when it happened with first-degree murder and arson. But here comes a judge, and he dropped the murder charges. DA Tim Ward said he does not regret his decision to charge the teens, according to YourCentralValley.com. So the teenager convicted for that library fire is going to be even released early. Doesn't even have to spend the time. That was the light slap on the wrist for the taking of two men's lives. Well, I mean, if you were the judge, jury, and executioner on that one, hey, how would you rule it if you were the king and some kids did that and two firefighters died? I would say juvenile hall till 18 and then jail till 21. And throw in an at least. Now, this is different with this 22-year-old man who is accused. Well, obviously seems to be the guy. And I had the audio and I forgot to get it for the show. Dadgummit. They interviewed him, acting as if like he's the victim in it. I guess I can't believe how the media, the story of the 25 LA deputy recruits that were mowed down last Wednesday. It's gotten actually worse. Police arrested Nicholas Gutierrez for attempted murder. Then they let him walk. No bail. Thank you, Gascon. No bail. So that's what why we're trying to get Attorney General Bonta out of there and Nathan Hochman in there so that things like this would not happen. He was arrested for attempted murder, plowing into the 75 Sheriff Department recruits. 25 of them were mowed down as they were running an early formation. Investigators, this is KTLA LA reporting, investigators went through an exhaustive interview process with everyone involved, with video surveillance, statements from the recruits, the physical evidence they had, and what they got from the suspect himself. They were able to form the opinion that this was a deliberate act, said Sheriff Villanueva. He said that on Thursday. The 22-year-old was originally arrested for attempted murder of a police officer. The sheriff's department said he was released from custody due to insufficient grounds to file charges. Police investigators, according to KTLA, insist they have probable cause and evidence to support these charges. The attorney for the man said, "I have no doubt will confirm that he's a hardworking young man who holds no animosity towards law enforcement. This was an absolutely tragic accident." So how does somebody do that and get out without bail? Enter scene George Gascon, funded by Soros, more than $2.5 million. Remember, he ran. Gascon ran for district attorney, promising all of L.A., "Hey, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to turn the court system upside down and I'm going to get rid of cash bail." So you vote, you get what you see, and here it is. The recall never qualified for the ballot. They tried to get him out of there. That was some shenanigans as well by all those signatures that they threw out. Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who seems to be a sane-minded Democrat, said the suspect was only released until investigators can develop more evidence, present a stronger case for prosecutors. Now, kind of hard to imagine that they didn't have enough evidence to hold this guy. You got bloody guys on the street. He's the driver. You got video. You got eyewitness. You got the sheriff saying that, yes, this should have been charges filed for attempted murder of a peace officer. I guess the case is more complex enough than the evidence that's actually been out there. You got 25 injured, 5 of them critically. What more do you need, huh? I don't know what more they need. Not a lawyer, but I've been reading about how even though they set him free, seems insane. They say it could be legally sound and it could be a tactically smart move here. But it's hard not to see a wrong when it's right in front of your face. And I don't understand when they say they cannot prove intent. A guy swerves sharply into the oncoming lane, accelerates, plows into a group of people, never takes his foot off the accelerator, yet there's no intent there. Where did it go wrong?
I got some guys to beat and some cake to eat.
Oh, yeah, intent. You got the video. Sheriff Villanueva said the wreck looked deliberate, said there were no skid marks. I mean, who thinks that this was an accident? If you stab a guy on the 99 freeway while he's changing his tire and it's caught on somebody's camera and there are witnesses that saw you do it, are they really going to say, "Hey, what was your intent?" No, you would be arrested for stabbing somebody. Intent is kind of the side story on this. That car dealership attack from a month and a half, 2 months ago. There were some more on this, and it was actually a good story by Joshua Teehee at the Fresno Bee, talking about what this guy did a few years ago and how he was led out of jail and how D.A. Smitkamp did not want him to go out of jail a few years ago. When this guy, remember the guy that came into the car dealership, homeless guy, and stabbed a guy waiting for a meeting at 8:30 in the morning multiple times in the neck? He survived. He was in serious condition for quite a while. But a few years ago, the same guy stabbed a homeless woman because he thought she was a cannibal. grocery store back in 2019. He would have received jail time last year if the DA's office had his way. But DA Smitkamp, quoted in this article here, said, instead, a mental health diversion left him on the streets where he assaulted the man at the car dealership. She called it a travesty of justice. We objected. The 36-year-old was arrested after stabbing, but he was charged with attempted murder. He's going to be back in court in January. But he has a history of this. 2019, again, stabbing that 60-something-year-old woman. He was sentenced to 2 years at Wasco State Prison, only after he failed to comply with the orders from Behavioral Health Court. It's not clear whether he served his full sentence. Smitkamp said that's unlikely. When he came out of prison, he just picked another case with similar circumstances. And she said it's because of Assembly Bill 1810, signed by Governor Brown back in 2018, that allows certain defendants that meet specific criteria to postpone prosecution so they can undergo inpatient or outpatient mental health treatments. And they should be in jail, but I guess they're going, well, there's kind of not right in the head, so we're going to get them some treatment because we don't want to send them into prison being crazy, because that's the last thing that we need, are crazy people in prison. So they want to keep, I guess, the crazier out of there. And in the meantime, though, doesn't sound like they're in jail, does it? This is what is so wrong. Twitter in a tizzy again. Let me ask, where is the marketing for Trump and Nunes' Truth Social? Has anybody seen any advertising? Any product placement? We'll talk about Twitter. We'll talk about Truth Social. We'll do that next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
If George W. Bush wins, I'm going to move to Spain.
If Donald Trump wins, I'm going to move to Germany. You know, all these people say, especially the Hollywood types, right? They're going to take off and they're going to get out of here. Same thing with Twitter. Now that Elon Musk is now the old captain on Twitter, CBS News stormed off Twitter. We're woke. They came crawling back. Why they? Well, here's what they said. CBS News put out a tweet. After pausing for much of the weekend to assess the security concerns, CBS News and stations is resuming its activity on Twitter as we continue to monitor the situation. Okay, they're crawling back to monitor the situation. Yeah, okay, there you go. Trump's Twitter account, they restored it. Yeah. A new poll Elon Musk put out, but Trump says that Trump's not returning. He said, Truth Social's been very, very, very powerful, very, very strong, and I'll be staying there. Well, of course he has to do it. Come on, it's like Ronald McDonald called eating a Whopper, right? Kind of that sense. The Marlboro Man smoking a Camel. Were they made by Marlboro? Or those two? Those are two different brands. Yeah, yeah. The Camel was the Camel. Yeah, the Camel cigarette. Joe Camel, and you had the Marlboro Man. Yeah, you couldn't see the Marlboro Man smoking a camera. Could you have Trump and Truth Social on Twitter? I don't think the two even compare, because Truth Social, I was really expecting, right? Everything Trump does is next level, whether it's landing in Des Moines, Iowa, or whether it's a TV show, or whether it's a press conference, or as president. He looked like he was the president before he was a president, before he even won a primary. He had the flags up. He knew how to do all of that. He is a marketer. Come on. He hired Devin Nunes. They were going to go. They're doing Truth Social. I expected that. Almost every third, I've seen more advertising for John Duarte than I have for Truth Social. I mean, that's just a given. I thought there'd be ads on Fox and Newsmax and on Breitbart and maybe even put them up on CNN. I thought we would see commercials. Now, Trump has come out and said, yeah, he supports Elon Musk buying Twitter, but said their platform's problems are terrible. Yeah, they were. They cracked down on child porn. Elon Musk, that was a headline at Zero Hedge, Twitter's former head of trust and safety out there who did his PhD dissertation on the sex app Grindr. He always downplayed the safety, but now it has come out. And this former head of trust and safety had an op-ed that he linked to on the New York Times. And in a reply, a Twitter user asked a good question. Why was child pornography permitted on Twitter for years under your watch, but stamped out within 48 hours after you left? Yeah, they, I guess, cracking down on that. And again, now that Trump is back on Twitter, everybody can see his tweet on from January 6th that said, I'm asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful, no violence. Remember, we, capital letters, are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you. Yeah, indeed. I can tell you, I just learned the word last week. And then Friday, I couldn't remember it, but I remember the meaning when I brought it up again. Stochastic terrorism. So new to me, I haven't even heard it spoken. I've only read it written. Did that happen in Colorado Springs? Well, if you listen to the left, the gay nightclub shooting there, it's Republicans' fault. We'll break it down. Do it next.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.